ॐ अग्नितमनन्दस्य राजराजलकय चक्षुस्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टं स्थपितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदमयं ददति सापनन्तिकम् वंशकपदुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पतितनां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Hare Krishna. We concluded that we heard what Prabhupada concluded here, that citing Rupa Goswami saying that one should not go to see Krishna if one desires to maintain a taste for happiness and material sense pleasure in this world. Because a person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. That's how we concluded with this very strong statement by Srila Prabhupada, which again was quoting Srila Rupa Goswami. So Prabhupada continues here. So when the gopis heard the sound of Krishna's flute, they immediately were enchanted and left everything and ran to Krishna. But it wasn't that their husbands and their fathers and their brothers and were so happy to hear, "Oh, you're going to see Krishna. He's calling you in the middle of the night." No. On the other hand, they were blocked from going physically sometimes. So Krishna book continues here. Some of the gopis were factually detained from going to Krishna by their husbands, and they were locked up by force within their rooms. Being unable to go to Krishna, they began to meditate upon his transcendental form by closing their eyes. They already had the form of Krishna within their minds. They proved to be the greatest yogis, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. A person who is constantly thinking of Krishna within his heart with faith and love is considered to be the topmost of all yogis. What verse? Yes, exactly. That the topmost of yogis in a category of his own is that bhakti yogi who meditates upon Krishna with great faith and devotion, Shraddhavan, bhajate yo mam, and is serving Krishna while meditating upon him and him only with great devotion. The topmost of all yogis, the topmost of all who are connected with the Supreme, their meditation is full and complete. Actually, Prabhupada continues, a yogi concentrates his mind on the form of Lord Vishnu. That is real yoga. What canto of the Bhagavatam describes Kapila Muni's description of yoga? Sankhya Yoga, third canto, right at the towards the end, the last quarter or third of the third canto. And he describes the process of Sankhya, which is very much Jnana Yoga in part, and very much Astanga Yoga, the mixture of the two, and Bhakti Yoga also, all together. But the purpose is to meditate upon the Lord from the Lord's lotus feet upward until one reaches the Lord's smiling face. So this is the perfection of yoga. So the gopis could not go to Krishna personally, so they began to meditate on him as perfect yogis. This is the nature of separation, loving separation. The gopi associates of Krishna who assemble in that place where Krishna is appearing are from different groups. So there aren't one kind of gopis, but there are many kinds. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratabhavitabhi, in the spiritual world, the associates of Krishna, especially the gopis, are the manifestation of the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, so that's the first category of those in the groups of different groups of devotees. There are the Nitya Siddha Parikars, the Nitya Siddha Gopis, those who are eternally situated in their relationship with Krishna, forever and ever in the spiritual world. So that's the first group. But it is not only those gopis that come, but also, here's the second group, those who are being promoted to that status from the material world. Now what is it called when there's the Nitya Siddha Gopis and those who are the sadhana siddhas? They are being promoted, they are performing their sadhana. What does sadhana mean? What is the English translation? Practices, yes. The practices of devotion to achieve kriti sadhya bhavetsa sadhanadavi nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakattam riddhi sadhyata. The purpose of sadhana is to achieve the sadhya. Sadhya means what? The goal. The goal is bhava, or transcendental emotion, or taking shelter of the internal energy, or achieving that shelter, or awakening one's relationship with Krishna. And bhava is called premankur. It is just the sprout of prem compared to the whole, the blossoming flower or the blossoming tree. It is just a sprout. So bhava is so wonderful, and that's the purpose of sadhana. But still more wonderful is prema bhakti, and prema bhakti has different levels as well. So this is very scientifically described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, Vijana Lamani. So there is the sadhana siddha devotees and the nitya siddha devotees. The gopis who join Krishna's pastimes within this material world, that means that Krishna, when he performs his pastimes, he has a nitya lila, just like the sun travels. When it is setting in one part of the earth, it is rising in another part. It appears to be rising in another part. And when it's 12 o'clock in one part, it's 4 o'clock in another part. So similarly, Krishna's lilas, his pastimes, are continuously going on. Nitya in two ways, eternally in two ways. One, they are perpetually going on in the spiritual world, and they are going on like the sun in the material world. Every pastime is being performed somewhere, just like on the old planes. Now they use videos, but previously they used to have the movie looped. Is anyone old enough to remember that far back? And they still have it on the Air India flights, probably. You know, the ones where you have to, all the passengers are required to flap along just to make sure it works properly. But where it's being shown in one cabin, one scene, and then it moves up, the spool moves up to the next cabin, and it's being shown that what was shown here 2 minutes ago is shown there 2 minutes later, what was shown there 2 minutes ago is shown there 2 minutes later. So similarly, the pastimes of Krishna are going on in one universe after the other, in succession. So those who join in the practice of reaching perfection, before one, even after one attains bhava bhakti, before he can go to the spiritual world, the next step is to join Krishna's pastimes where they are taking place in the material world. And there, by the association of the Nitya Siddha Parikars, the Nitya Siddha devotees,
one achieves the purity and the quality of love by that training, one achieves that higher quality and therefore becomes qualified to go to the spiritual world. So the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. From sadhana, they were being elevated, and on their way to the spiritual world, they went to the place where Krishna was performing his pastimes in the material world, and actually had the association of Krishna's Nityasiddha devotees, eternally liberated souls, and also of Krishna himself. If they had been bound by fruitive actions, they were fully freed from the reactions of karma by constant meditation on Krishna. Their severe, painful yearnings caused by their not being able to see Krishna freed them from all sinful reactions. The intense fire of separation from Krishna and the pain that that caused them, of course it is transcendental, purified them of all sinful reactions. And their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna in his absence was transcendental to all the reactions of material pious activity. So that burned into ashes the ecstasy of their love for Krishna, the sweet taste of that love for Krishna, burned completely all the reactions to their pious karma, whatever was left for these sadhana siddha devotees. So in this way, they became completely karma-freed by separation and the ecstasy born of association with Krishna. So both ecstasy and separation are transcendental and bring wonderful results. The ending of our material sojourn. The conditioned soul is subjected to birth and death, either by pious or sinful activities. But the gopis who began to meditate on Krishna transcended both positions and became purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis already expanded by his pleasure potency, the Nityasiddha devotees. All the gopis who concentrated their mind on Krishna and the spirit of paramour love became fully uncontaminated from all the fruitive reactions of material nature. By meditating upon Krishna with deep love, they became freed from everything that binds them to the material world. And some of them immediately gave up their material bodies developed under the three modes of material nature. And they went to meet Krishna in their spiritual bodies. Now, after Sukadeva Goswami explained this to Maharaj Prickett, how just by when Krishna was playing his flute, and some of the gopis immediately went, but some were stopped from going. And these gopis, locked in their rooms, closed their eyes and meditated solely upon Krishna. And the pain of their not being able to be with Krishna burnt to nil all their sinful reactions, and the ecstasy of their associating with Krishna in their meditation burned to nil all their pious reactions. And some of them, what? Left their material body and associated with Krishna in the spiritual body. That's what Prabhupada explains here. Now Maharaj Prickett hears this. And he asks the question. When Maharaj Prickett heard Sukadeva Goswami explained the situation of the gopis who assembled with Krishna in the rasa dance, he heard that some of the gopis, simply by concentrating Krishna as their paramour, as their beloved, they became freed from all the contaminations of material birth and death. He said, the gopis did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First statement. They were unaware that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. Second statement. So how is it possible for them to get freed from the material conditions just by thinking of their paramour, of their lover?
They did not know Krishna's position, and knowledge is so important. Therefore, how did they get the result without that knowledge of Krishna's position? All they did was meditate upon their beloved, their paramour. They accepted him as a beautiful boy and considered him to be their paramour, their lover. So how is it possible for them to get free from material conditions just by thinking of a paramour? One should consider here that Krishna and ordinary beings are qualitatively one. The ordinary living beings, being part and parcel of Krishna, are also Brahman. Krishna is Parabrahman. He is like the sun. And ordinary living beings are also like the sun rays. But the quality of the sun and the quality of the sun rays is the same. The question is, if it's possible for the devotee to get free from the material contaminated state simply by thinking of Krishna, then why not others who are also thinking of someone? Because everyone is a part of Krishna. Krishna is Supreme Brahman. Everyone is Brahman. Everyone is spiritual. Everyone is ultimately pure. So as the gopis became free from all material bondage by thinking of Krishna as Parabrahman, is it possible, why isn't it possible to think about anyone as the paramour and get free? It's a question that that someone who was interested in finding a way out of the material world easily may ask. If one is thinking of a husband is part of God, a son, also a spirit soul, Brahman, or if anyone at all is thinking of another living entity, my dog, he's a soul. Since all living entities are also Brahman, then why are they not freed from the contaminated stage of material nature by thinking of any living entity? Everyone is qualitatively the same as Krishna. This is a very intelligent question, because the atheists are always imitating Krishna. In these days of Kali Yuga, there are many rascals who think themselves to be as great as Krishna, and who cheat people into believing that thinking of them is as good as thinking of Lord Krishna. Are there actually people like that? Huh? Who said yes? Yes, it is true. There are actually many, many people who try to convince their followers. They are ordinary people. They age. They become ugly when they get older. They may have some mystic powers. But they convince their followers that I'm no different from Krishna. And if you think of me, it's the same as thinking of Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj, apprehending the dangerous condition of blind followers, of demonic imitators, therefore asked this question. And fortunately, it is recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam to warn innocent people that thinking of an ordinary man and thinking of Krishna are not the same. Now, again, even in the middle, or not the middle, the very beginning practically of the pastime of Krishna dancing with the gopis, there's immediately an explanation given, and Prabhupada's explaining the purpose of it. And what's the purpose of it? To show that Krishna is not an ordinary human being. And therefore, the activities that he's performing here, although seemingly the type of activities that a human being would perform, they are not at all the activities of a human being, even though superficially they may appear to be so, because Krishna is not an ordinary human being. Thinking of an ordinary human being would bring one result, even though an ordinary human being is a part of Krishna, is also Brahman. But thinking of Krishna is completely different, because Krishna is not ordinary. He's not a living being like us. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everything he does is completely different
Even though superficially it appears the same, it is completely different from the activities of the material world, in the same way that gold is different from iron, and the reflection of the tree on the pond in the water is completely different from the actual tree itself. And the big cake with the big cake is one thing, and the reflection of the cake in the mirror is completely different. So Krishna's activities are completely different. They are transcendental. They have nothing to do with the mundane any more than the actual cake has to do with the reflection. Of course the reflection has something to do with the cake. Without the cake, there would be no reflection of the cake in the mirror. Without the tree, there would be no reflection of the tree in the pond. But yet, they're completely different, and they have nothing to do with each other, in another sense. So to make the point again, that the activities of Krishna that we're going to hear about, that are so extraordinary, and they so closely resemble the activities of young boys and young girls in the material world, they in fact are done by Krishna. And therefore, and Krishna's greatest transcendental devotees, who are Nitya Siddha, they are part of Krishna's internal energy. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. And they have these activities are supra mundane. They are beyond the material realm, completely beyond it. So we should not try to impose a material way of thinking upon these activities. We should simply hear them and with that understanding that this is Krishna dealing with his energies, and regardless of what it may appear like to my material mind, this is the exchange of transcendental love and has nothing to do with lust. Krishnendriya Priti. This is all purely different desires by different living entities, persons, to please the transcendental senses of Krishna. That's what's going on. It is love. It is not lust. Because lust is ultimately atma-indriya priti. It is all selfish, self-centered and selfish. And love is centered on the pleasure of the beloved. So, this is recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this question, to warn innocent people that thinking of an ordinary man and thinking of Krishna are not the same, and Krishna's activities are not the same as those of an ordinary man. Prabhupada continues. Actually, even thinking of the demigods cannot compare with thinking of Krishna. It is also warned in the Vaishnava Tantra that one who puts Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna on the same level of the demigods is called a Pashanda. Or, Prabhupada translates it here using his favorite word, or one of his favorite words, or a rascal. Pashanda also means an atheist. So on hearing the question of Maharaj Prickett, Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, your question has already been answered even before this incident." Because Maharaj Prickett wanted to clear up the situation, his spiritual master answered him very intelligently, "Why are you again asking the same subject matter which has already been explained to you? Why are you so forgetful?" A spiritual master is always in the superior position, so he has the right to chastise his disciple in this way. Sukadeva Goswami knew that Maharaj Prickett asked the question not for his own understanding, but as a warning to the future innocent people who might think others to be equal to Krishna, or to might think Krishna equal to others. And because Krishna is doing something, it is the same as if others, or me, or ordinary people were doing it. Sukadeva Goswami then reminded Maharaj Prickett about the salvation of Shishupal. What canto? Yes, but with this, in the first chapter of the seventh canto, Maharaj Yudhisthira is asked Narada Muni about the salvation of Shishupal, or something. The question comes up, or it's related about how Shishupal's soul, after Krishna cut off his head, he was so sinful, but yet after Krishna cut off his head with his chakra, then the soul of Shishupal merged into the body of the Lord and was liberated. And how is that possible? He was so envious. And then the answer is given: just by having an in-depth relationship with Krishna, one is completely freed from all material contamination and one is liberated. But that relationship must be full and deep. And it doesn't make a difference whether one is meditating and relating with Krishna out of love, affection, envy, anger, lust even. As long as the focus is fully and intensely on Krishna, not on an ordinary person, but on Krishna, then that purifies the heart fully. So that is the incident that Sukadeva Goswami is referring to, saying that we've already explained this, why didn't you pay attention? There's a difference between the result of meditating fully on Krishna and the result in meditating on Krishna by meditating on an ordinary human being. So Shishupal, he continues, was always envious, Srila Prabhupada continues, was always envious of Krishna. And because of his envy, Krishna killed him. He had insulted Krishna 1,000 times, and Krishna had promised the mother of Shishupal that he would tolerate 1,000 insults from Shishupal, but not anymore. This is when Shishupal just had been born. So Shishupal again and again and again during the Radhasuya sacrifice criticized Krishna. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. 5, 6, 7, 527, 734, 892, 904, and more and more criticisms of Krishna. 988, more and more criticisms of Krishna. 992, 93, 94, and Krishna just tolerated it. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 1,000, and then 1,001, and Krishna had promised only to tolerate 1,000 insults. And at that time, after 1,001 insults came from Shishupal's mouth, Krishna took out his chakra, and like a razor blade, it circled through the air and cut off the head of Shishupal. So, and then the soul of Shishupal merged into Krishna's body before everyone's vision. So everyone was astounded by this. Yudhisthira Maharaj had seen this and asked Narada Muni about it later. Well, how this could possibly happen? He was so sinful, the Shishupal. But ultimately, Shishupal and Dantavakra were giant Vijay, coming from the spiritual world. And they were returning in their own way to the spiritual world, to their position as the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. But they had fully, and this was actually the blessing that they had asked when they were cursed by whom? The four Kumaras. They said, we have done something wrong. Actually, they had not done something wrong. But we have done something wrong by stopping you. We accept your curse as just, but we have one request to ask, and that request is, may we not forget you wherever we go. May our consciousness be fully focused upon you, even if we go into the material world. And this became the blessing that they had that purified them of whatever contamination they had due to the curse or due to the will of the ultimate will of the Lord. Lakshmi Devi had also cursed them to go to the material world. There is no, when one is the gatekeeper, one gets a lot of curses because one has to stop people from doing what they want to do. And as soon as you try and stop someone from doing what they want to do, what happens? Huh? In between. Yes, they get angry at you. And then when someone is angry, who knows what's going to come out of their mouth? So that's what came out of the mouth of the, by Krishna's arrangement, out of the four Kumaras, a curse. But again, they received the blessing that they would always intensely and only remember Krishna. Since Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sisupal gains salvation simply by seeing him. If an envious person can get salvation simply by concentrating his mind on Krishna, and that was the specific quality, good quality that Sisupal had, he was so concentrated, fully focused on Krishna, no other thought. Just like when you're angry at someone, if someone does something to you that you really hated during the day. You really hated it, it happened to you, really insulted you or something, and you really want, you just think about that person all day. You try to push the thought out of your mind, and it just comes right back. Rather than thinking in sadhana bhakti, trying to remember Krishna, the people who have anger have no difficulty remembering Krishna. So this is Sisupal's position. It's said that it's even more intense than the ordinary affection of the devotees, because the devotees struggle to keep Krishna in their mind, and Sisupal had no problem, Kamsa had no problem keeping Krishna in their mind. But we don't recommend anyone take initiation in the disciplic succession from Kamsa and Sisupal, though, and follow their practices. So Sisupal, by concentrating his mind on Krishna, what to speak of the gopis, what result they would get, who are so dear to Krishna and who always think of him in love. There must be some difference between the enemies and the friends and the results that they get. If Krishna's enemies could get free from material contamination and become one with the Supreme, then certainly his dear friends like the gopis are freed and are with him. So this is the philosophy of I can't remember the technical name for it, but if Krishna gives liberation to his enemies who always think about him, just imagine how he reciprocates with the beloved gopis who love him, only wanting to serve him and please him, who think about him even in a still more concentrated way. This was the words of Lord Brahma. He said, I can't imagine how you're going to reciprocate. If Agasura has gotten this liberation from you, similar liberation, he tried to kill you, I can't imagine how you're going to reciprocate. Or Putana, Kambada Alam Saranam Brajema, Putana, who was a paki, a witch, trying to kill Krishna. He became the datri. Krishna awarded her the position of nurse in the spiritual world. I can't imagine how you'll reciprocate with these brajavasis who love you so fully and completely and only think of you and try to give you pleasure. How are you going to reciprocate with them if you give liberation and award the spiritual world to the demons who always think of you? That's the point here. So this is really a glorification of the gopis, although it appears to be a glorification of Sisupal's process. So, continuing here, there must be some difference between the enemies and the friends in the reciprocation. If Krishna's enemies could get free from material contamination and become one with the Supreme, then certainly his dear friends like the gopis are freed and with him. Beside that, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is called Rishikesha. Sukadeva Goswami also said that Krishna is Rishikesha, the super soul, whereas an ordinary man is a conditioned soul covered by the material body. So there's a vast difference, meditating on one and meditating on the other. Any person making a distinction between Krishna and Krishna's body is a fool number one. Krishna is Rishikesh and Adhokshaja. These particular words have been used by Purkit Maharaj in this instance. Rishikesh is the super soul, and Adhokshaja is the supreme personality of Godhead, transcendental to the material nature, beyond the material nature. He's the super soul. He's beyond material nature. Everything he is doing is completely extraordinary. And although it's superficially like the reflection of the cake may appear to be, the reflection and the cake may be appear superficially, externally, may appear to be the same, but there is a complete difference. Because Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is Rishikesh, the super soul. He is Adhokshaja. He is beyond the material nature. Just to show favor to the ordinary living entities out of his causeless mercy, he appears as he is. Unfortunately, foolish person mistake him to be another ordinary person. And so they become eligible to go to
hell.
Hell, yes. Exactly, is what Prabhupada said. Mistaking Krishna to be an ordinary person gives one the full qualification to go to hell. Avajananti mamuta. Sukadeva Goswami reconfirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imperishable, immeasurable, and free from all material contamination. Sukadeva Goswami continued to inform Maharaj Prickett that Krishna is not an ordinary person, and therefore, again, his activities should be understood to be extraordinary, even though they appear similar to those of ordinary people. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all spiritual qualities. He appears in this material world out of his causeless mercy. And whenever he appears as he is, without change. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. There the Lord says that he appears in his spiritual potency. Sambhavam yapma mayaya. He appears by his internal energy. He does not appear under the control of this material potency. He is not forced. We are forced to come to the material world. Krishna is never forced to come. He appears because he wants to come. The material potency is under his control. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the material potency is working under his superintendence. What verse? Maya adyaksha. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate characharan. That this material energy is working under my supervision. The energy working under Krishna's supervision cannot rise up in rebellion and take over the government. Cannot take over or control the position. Cannot control Krishna. The energy is subservient to the energetic, the source of the energy. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that the material potency known as Durga is acting just as a shadow which moves with the movement of the substance. The conclusion is that if one somehow or another becomes attached to Krishna, or attracted to him, either because of his beauty, his qualities, his opulence, his fame, his strength, his renunciation, or his knowledge, or even through lust, anger, or fear, or affection, or friendship, then one's salvation and freedom from material contamination is assured. This is the potency of Krishna, that just simply by meditating upon him and hearing his pastimes and thinking about him, one will become free from all the contaminations of material life and end up in the spiritual world. Now Prabhupada continues, oh, you want to go to the spiritual world? In the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, the Lord also states, because one can think, okay, this is wonderful. Just by meditating on Krishna, I'm going to become pure. So from now on, I'm only going to meditate on Krishna. But perhaps we'd have an easier time if we were angry at Krishna, because it's really hard to develop the kind of love that's necessary to, that causes us to unflinchingly and only meditate on Krishna. So what are we going to do about that? So here Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, the Lord also states that one who is engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness is very dear to him. A preacher has to face many difficulties in his struggle to preach pure Krishna consciousness. Sometimes he has to suffer bodily injuries, and sometimes he has to also meet death. All this is taken as a great austerity on behalf of Krishna. Krishna therefore has said that such a preacher is very, very dear to him. If Krishna's enemies can expect salvation simply by concentrating their minds on him, then what to speak of persons who are so dear to Krishna? The conclusion should be that the salvation of those who are engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness in the world is guaranteed in all circumstances. But such preachers never care for salvation, because factually, one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness devotional service has already achieved salvation. What does salvation mean? Oh, that's mukti. Okay, but what does it mean? Not technically. Yes, it means freedom from misery. And this is the goal of practically all religious activity. Because people are so tired of suffering in this world. Suffering, 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 suffering. So we want freedom, and we turn to God through the practices of religion to achieve freedom from suffering. But here Prabhupada is saying that preachers who gain liberation, who do gain liberation, they have Krishna consciousness, because they are dear to Krishna, means they attain the blessings of Krishna. They are guaranteed, practically speaking, liberation by Krishna. He says they are dear to him. If he awards salvation to those who are not dear to him, the enemies, his enemies, he'll certainly give that plus more to those who take risks and act for his pleasure, even up to the point of risking their own lives to please him. How is Krishna going to reciprocate with them? He gives them at least salvation that he awards to his enemies. But such preachers never care for salvation, because factually, one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness devotional service has already achieved salvation. They don't care for it, but they achieve it automatically by their Krishna consciousness. What does that mean, practically speaking? It means that the bliss that they attain from Krishna consciousness, moksha lagudakrit, it minimizes liberation. It is automatically achieved. They have something more valuable than liberation. They have the bliss of Krishna consciousness that makes the pains and pleasures, not only the pains, but the pleasures of the material world seem insignificant, completely insignificant. Just like having $85 billion makes $100,000 seem insignificant. The interest on your interest on your interest on your interest makes that $100,000 insignificant. So Krishna consciousness minimizes moksha lagudakrit, the ecstasy of bhava bhakti, which is again premankura, is just like the seedling for the full plant of prema or love for Krishna. Bhava bhakti makes the gain of liberation, which is thousands of times more pleasurable than material pleasures. But bhava bhakti makes that appear insignificant. And this is the gift, Krishna consciousness, prema bhakti, bhava bhakti, is the gift that Krishna awards those who he's pleased with. So Prabhupada's bringing the point. Look, let's follow the progression of his logic. So he's saying that if Krishna gives, you have not understood this. Sukadev Goswami says, I've already explained to you the difference between meditating on an ordinary human being and meditating upon Krishna, the different results. We've told about this in this pastime of Sisupal. Meditating upon Krishna brings incredible results. Look what it did to the enemy of Krishna, Sisupal. It gave him liberation. So if it gives liberation to one who approaches Krishna but thinks of Krishna always, even in a mood of enmity, if it gives a liberation, how does Krishna reciprocate with those who love him? And then Prabhupada then brings it to the point. How does Krishna reciprocate with those who preach and take risks on his behalf and give up everything just to please him? More than he gives the demons, certainly. So this is wonderful. This is what Prabhupada is talking about here. So Sukadev Goswami therefore assured King Prickett that he should always rest assured that one attracted by Krishna attains liberation from material bondage, because Krishna is the transcendental master of all mystic powers. He has the keys to the fort, and he can let one out. What is the word for fort in Sanskrit? Who is the keeper of the fort of the material world? Durga Devi. Durga means fort, fortress. So he has the keys, and that's his mystic powers. He can easily, he is Yogeshwar. He has Icha Shakti, he is Satya Sankalpa. Everything he desires happens. This is the frustration of being in the material world, for being in such a limited, subordinate position. What we desire doesn't happen. Indeed, Prahlad Maharaj says, what we desire, the opposite of what we desire happens. But everything that Krishna desires, Satya Sankalpa, his determination, his Icha Shakti, because everything in existence serves his desires, he has potencies. Their only business is to facilitate his pleasure, and they are unlimited potencies. And our potency or power to facilitate our pleasure is very limited, in case you have not noticed. So Krishna is the master of all mystic powers. So therefore, he assured Maharaj Prickett, Sukadev Goswami, that just by being attracted to Krishna, easily one will become free from all material bondage. And beyond, easily, because one will go beyond that. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tanjanyante kalevam. One will go to Krishna. So we'll end here. And tomorrow, Krishna willing, the gopis have arrived. Krishna has is playing his flute in Bamsilat. The gopis arrive, being pulled there. The ones who could not come, meditated on Krishna, became fully purified, removed their sinful reactions and their pious reactions, and some even went to Krishna in their spiritual bodies. But more than that, so many more than that did actually go to see Krishna. How is Krishna going to welcome them? How is he going? They've given up everything for him. Everything with intense love. How is Krishna going to deal with them? That we shall hear the beginning of that tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Bhakti ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.